With you this morning, I'd like you, if you would, turn with me to the book of Matthew, and we're going to pick up our thought where we left off. And just a reminder that tonight Brother Nathan's going to be sharing in the evening service, so always look forward to listening to Brother Nathan, and we encourage you to come and let him bless your hearts with the word that the Lord lays on his heart. Matthew chapter 27, here we find that Jesus, he's upon the cross. A lot of things begin to transpire. And we find in verse 51 through 53, it says, "Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth quaked, and the rocks were split, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And the coming out of the graves after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many." Brother Andy, would you ask the blessing upon the word this morning, please? So if you were here with us last time, we shared with you, find that Jesus, he's upon the cross there, and he says these words, "It is finished. It is finished." And then we find that these events took place. I think it's interesting that he ends this first advent, his first coming here, with these five miraculous things. And they were for a specific purpose. They were to get the attention of the people who stood by. We find that there was darkness that covered the land for 3 hours. And the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom, signifying that it was God who tore that veil. And I've read many scholars have said that that veil may have been several inches thick. So it would be no small task for a man to do it. I remember Brother Horton, he shared about this one time. He says, you can almost see those scribes, those Pharisees, and those Sadducees, and all those religious folks out there with their thread and needles trying to sew that thing back up, right? I shouldn't say that thing, but the curtain back up, the veil. And then we know that there was an earthquake and the rocks were split. That's not without significance. And the earthquakes, you know, that's got significance for us here today too, as we're going to look at. And the fact that the dead bodies were raised up out of their graves. The bodies were exposed, you might say. But one of the things that I find interesting about this is that this speaks of, and as you know, I like types and shadows in scriptures. In particular, I like looking even at the New Testament types and shadows. And this really speaks about something to us if we're willing to see it. And I hope that you can as we share it with you. I believe all of these things happened for a purpose and a reason to show us that when we come to the foot of the cross, in an allegorical way, these things happen to us. What do I mean by that? Well, let's think about it for a moment. The Bible says when we were without Christ, we were dead and in our trespasses, in our sin. We were in darkness. Remember, darkness came over the land. Now, we thought we were alive. We thought we were living good, right? We thought we had the world by the tail. But when we came to the foot of the cross, we began to recognize something. We began to recognize that we're not what we thought we were. One of the first things that a person has to realize when they come to Christ is that they are a sinner and that they're in need of a Savior, that they're in darkness and they have need of light. You see? And then, of course, we know that the earthquake that took place, exposing those dead bodies, that says the rocks were split. Did you know the Bible says that when you come to Christ, you become a living stone. Amen? We're being built a spiritual habitation for God. But it also says about Jesus Christ, it says He is the rock, amen? And it says if this, whoever falls upon the rock will be what? Broken. But on whomever this rock falls, they'll be crushed to powder, amen? Now the earthquake, that should speak to us all. I believe the earthquake is something that produces a shaking, right? I remember whenever I was a young man walking downtown and a guy coming up to me and saying, "Do you know Jesus is your Lord and Savior and Messiah?" Yeah. I mean, I was shaken to death. I mean, he said, "Well, brother, do you go to church?" And I go, "No, but my mom and dad do." You know, like that was going to help me. And I said, I got to go. And so I remember just sitting there in my car thinking, why am I so uptight? I mean, I was shaking. I was trembling. You see, I believe that what this typology represents is that whenever somebody who is a Christian shares their faith, when they share the word, that's going to be the result. When you bring somebody to the foot of the cross, what's going to happen a lot of times is going to be a shaking, a trembling going on. And that shaking and that trembling is going to reveal something. It's going to reveal to us that we are dead apart from Christ. But it is that same shaking when one comes to Christ that when they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that they are raised in newness of life. They're raised from the dead. People see it. You got to think this shook some people up, don't you? Well, that's Ralph over there. My goodness, he died 5 years ago. Now, don't get the picture in your mind. We're talking about some kind of zombie or something coming out of the grave. No. These people are alive. They were dead and now they are alive. You've got to think these guys were just, whoa. This is the Son of God. Amen? I'm telling you, folks, this speaks of the Christian's life, what we should be. We should be such that when people see our lives, us alive from the dead, that they look up and they go, wow, He is the Son of God. Amen? Should be. Look at this next verse here. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. My point here this morning, folks. God usually in Scripture chose an earthquake to get people's attention, to speak to them. And I believe that this is a type and a shadow of what we are to be doing. We are to be earthquakes in the lives of people, shaking them up. Amen. It's high time that the church forget about political correctness, forget about offending. Do everything in love. But it's high time the church told people the way it was. The Bible says, how shall they believe except one be sent? Amen? How beautiful are the feet of those who publish the gospel of peace. It's so important, folks. So next time you have the opportunity to share with somebody and you see they're getting a little uptight, and hey, that's something to rejoice in. I'm upset in their heart, man. I'm making them quake a little bit. But that may lead to the very thing that they need, an exposure of who they really are so that they can be resurrected in new life. Amen? Truly should be. You believe that God speaks to people and shakes them up? I think God delights in shaking people up. Because it's that very thing that brings them to that place of salvation. But again, we've been duped into thinking that, Oh, you got to be careful. I don't want to say anything to offend, you know. My friends, the gospel is offensive to the world. It's offensive to the world. Jesus wasn't afraid of being offensive. He said how it was. The Apostle Paul wasn't afraid of being offensive. He told people how it was. They didn't want to believe it. Didn't matter. He's still going to preach it. But you got people who are wanting to be so politically correct today that even if they profess Christianity, you know, because of the fact that they want to be politically correct, there's no power in what they say. Now, I'm gonna share this with you. How many heard Jack Finney this morning? It was really good. I really enjoyed it. I can't remember when it was, but President Obama professes to be a Christian. That's between him and the Lord. It's not my place. I'm not judging his salvation. But what I am judging, because the Bible says the spiritual man judges all things, that he's rightly judged of no one, is what he did was wrong. Because where we literally need to bring people to is the foot of the cross, is it not? But he was invited to speak at a Catholic university. And he said, I won't speak at this university unless you put a covering over the cross. You see the offense. Fearful that he would offend the people of Islam. It's the truth. Many people don't know things about this president like that. This president is also for that mosque being built there on the 9/11 site. He's all in favor of it. All in favor of them actually calling it the Cordoba Mosque. Anybody here familiar with the word Cordoba? Cordoba used to be a church in Spain. The Muslims conquered it in the land, and they turned the church into a mosque. It stood as a symbol of their victory over Christianity. A lot of people don't want to hear that. That's the truth. Now there's a church there that had, I think it burned down or something like that, that's been trying to get rebuilt, and they have totally disregarded having that church built. We're living in a time and in a day where all the events that are taking place in this world are leading up to this invasion of Israel. And people don't want to even talk about it. Don't even go there. But I'm telling you, folks, it's important because, like I said, God's a lot of times when he wants to get people's attention, he'll use an earthquake. And I'm going to show you some examples in Scripture of that very thing. Let's go ahead and turn to the book of Ezekiel. Before we go there, and we don't have time to go there, but in 1 Kings chapter 19, it talks about when after Elijah had battled the prophets of Baal, how he was all alone in the wilderness. He said, I'm all by myself. There's none who's going to stand with me. And the Lord says, behold, I have, 7,000 men who've not, or 10,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. And he took him out into the wilderness, and he said he took him out there, and there was a big storm, and then there was an earthquake, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And he spoke to him from there, a still small voice. He used the earthquake to get his attention. That's the point, is what I'm trying to share with you this morning. Just as he used this earthquake on this day to try to get the attention of the people, and it most certainly did, is that centurion. The centurion who is a hardened soldier. This was not just some, you know, rent-a-cop, you know. This was a man that was known for his bravery. Rough. Greatly feared and humbled, looked up and said, surely this was the Son of God. After all he saw. Do you realize we're in the time right now that this is about to happen that we're going to read right here? And it talks about the fact that God is going to send a strong earthquake at this time too. And it starts off with verse 17 of Ezekiel chapter 38. Thus says the Lord God, are ye he whom I have spoken in former days by my servant. Now, who is he talking to? He's talking to Gog, which is a title. The chief prince of Magog. Amen. And which we all know is Russia today. But he says, are you whom I have spoken in former days by my servants, the prophets of Israel, who prophesied for years in those days that I would bring you against them? This is the prophecy of the Gog-Magog invasion that's about to happen. But notice he says, are you the one that I have spoke of? Now, I think it's interesting, if you watch the news, and a lot of you say, well, you shouldn't name names. Well, Apostle Paul did. We see it all the way through Scripture. Truth's truth, right? I'm just saying these are things you need to watch. This President Putin of Russia, he served several terms as the Russian president until, according to their constitution, he was not allowed to serve anymore. So he really never left, though, because he became the prime minister and he had another president who was just a puppet to him. Well, guess what happened just this last year? I guess that once you set out a year or two or whatever it is, that you can become president again. Guess who is the president of Russia? Putin, yeah. I just find it interesting that here you have President Obama who says to one of his diplomats, tell Vladimir that as soon as I get reelected, I'll be able to do more. Does that kind of make you want to sit back a little bit? What? Harry, you're not supposed to get political. I'm not getting political. I'm sharing with you the truth. This is what happened. And I'm sharing with you what the Bible says can happen. Now, the Bible says that there are no authorities, no powers except those that have been ordained by God. Do I believe President Obama is the one who's been ordained by God? Yes, for this time, for this purpose. Just like he set up Pharaoh for that time and that purpose. I believe all the things that have been done in this administration and in previous administrations have all been done to bring us to this time and this place and this scenario that we're looking at right now. All the nations are going to turn against Israel. This President Putin, my understanding is, not only wanting to bring back the old Soviet bloc nations together like the old Soviet Union, but he wants China involved with it all, you see. And right now, you've got China and you have the Russians both saying, do not attack Iran. Do not attack their nuclear facilities. They're threatening. And you've got the president here who's saying, ooh, better not. You see, the stage is being set for this end-time scenario. But I share this with you because I'm going to be an earthquake in your life this morning. If you're here and you don't know Jesus, I'm sharing this with you for a reason. I want to shake you up. I want you to realize how close we are to the coming of the Lord. It's at the door. It's at the very door. So important for you to grasp that. Let's go on and read this prophecy. And it will come to pass at that same time when Gog comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, that my fury will show in my face, for my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel, so that the fish of the sea, the birds of the heaven, the beasts of the fields, all creeping things that creep on the earth, and all men who are on the face of the earth shall shake at my presence. The mountains shall be thrown down, the steep places shall fall, and every wall shall fall to the ground. Now, folks, if you look at this and you look at the book of Revelation, I believe these earthquakes are one and the same. And this is a testimony of the two prophets who are going to come into the land. And they're going to minister. In verse 7 through 13 of chapter 11, it says, "And when they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them and overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the streets of that great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified." Where is that? Jerusalem. "Then those peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations, all of them, will see their dead bodies." How many days? 3.5 days, right? I want you to think about this for a moment. When Jesus, when he gave up the ghost, were everybody resurrected right then immediately? It doesn't say that. It says after his resurrection, they were resurrected and they saw them. How many days would Jesus in the grave say? 3. Notice the typology here. 3. Why is it that it had to be until Jesus was resurrected? Because the Bible says Jesus is the first fruits of those who slept. Amen? But notice what it goes on here to say. "And those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and not allow their dead bodies to be put in the graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, making merry and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth." I believe these two prophets are what are known as the two olive branches, or the two candlesticks that stand side by side by the Lord on the right hand, left hand. I think you get a picture of them on the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses and Elijah standing next to Jesus, transfigured. It's a picture of what was going to happen when Jesus returns here. And notice it says all these people here are rejoicing. All the people in Jerusalem on the day that Jesus was crucified, those who hated him were rejoicing. But when he was resurrected, when he was no longer in the grave, you got to think they swallowed a little hard. Amen? And they began to think, well, we've got to justify ourselves. Now, after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemy saw them. I think it interesting, the Bible says when the church is raptured, that the Lord's going to say, "Come up hither." Amen? With the trump of God and the shout of the archangel, he's going to say, "Come up here." I find it interesting that after Jesus was resurrected, that here you have these saints who are seen in Jerusalem, seen of people. After these two prophets, they're seen of people, that they've been resurrected. Amen? And then he calls them into heaven. What about the church when the church is raptured? I'm just saying. Will people notice? Will people see? The dead bodies, the graves were opened by the earthquake, and people saw the dead bodies. They saw the dead bodies here in the street. God's a faithful witness. He wants to make sure that nobody perishes, that all come to repentance. Amen? All of this was done for a purpose. It was done for the purpose to get those who are blind to see. Now, I'm not saying that it will be this way, but it could be that maybe the Lord will allow people to see. People come to life and called home just like this. I don't know. We don't know. We've yet to see that. I'm just saying that it's interesting that in all these circumstances, there's an earthquake. Notice the next verse. In that same hour, there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell. In the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid. And what happened as a result of it? They gave glory to God. This is a prophecy of the future. Amen. Something to think about. Now, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 21, verse 25 through 28, that there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexing, and seas and the waves roaring, men's heart failing them for fear and expectation of those things which are coming upon the earth, and the powers of heaven will be what? Shaken. Do you sense a shaking taking place right now? A spiritual earthquake taking place in the life of people? Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. What does that mean? I think he's talking in the spiritual sense. Now this yet once more indicates a removal of those things that are being shaken as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. The ground shook then, and the dead came to life. Both in Matthew and Revelation. I wonder if the same will be true when the Lord takes his people home. We know it's true when he returns literally. Amen. Because it says so in the book of Ezekiel. And that battle takes place. The Bible tells us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 17. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, as least you sorrow as others who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus, when Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. See, there's going to be a resurrection take place first of those who are dead in Christ. I have to wonder, is that to get people's attention, maybe? Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Now, I'm hopeful that my family will come to the Lord before the church is raptured. But I am most certainly more hopeful that they will see this that takes place and recognize that this is a move of God, a work of God. And just as that centurion soldier, when he saw all these things take place, that they will look up and say, surely Jesus is the Son of God. Amen. God is such a faithful witness to us. Amen. He's willing to go the extra mile, perform all these miraculous things, just so people would acknowledge that fact. Amen. Now, quickly, I just wanted to go over a couple more verses, then we'll close. But in Matthew 27, verse 55 through 56 says, and many women who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, were there looking on from afar. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Jones, and the mother of Zebedee's children. Now, according to Luke chapter 8, verse 2, Mary Magdalene was a woman that Jesus cast out seven devils. It says in that verse of Scripture, a certain woman who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom he had come seven demons. Now, you look at church history, And Brother Nathan's teaching church history right now in Sunday school, and I appreciate it very much. But we know that there was a group of people who came on the scene who were the cult of that day. They were called Gnostics. And they taught that Jesus couldn't be God in the flesh because all manner of flesh is evil. Well, the Bible says, by this you know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error, the spirit of Antichrist from him who knows God. He who confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesses not is the spirit of Antichrist. And as a result, these Gnostics have actually come up with these different books. You've probably heard of the Gnostic writings. And one of them is the book of Mary Magdalene here, who they say that she actually married Jesus and he had offspring. It was nothing more than a lie after the fact. They teach that Jesus never really died, that he was taken from the sepulcher, which is ridiculous. When we get to that portion of the scripture, you'll see what I mean. But you got to understand, this woman, she was blessed because of what Jesus did for her. And isn't it interesting how the enemy will always take something that is blessed like this and kind of pervert it so that for his purposes, just like he did with Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary is the mother of Jesus, whom God was in. They call her the mother of God. If she were the mother of God, that would make her God. Of course, she's not. She is blessed of all women, that's for sure. But you see, the enemy always tries to get people focused on the wrong things. Just with these Gnostics, too. Now, I think it's interesting that James and John's mother that's talked about here, she's the one who asked Jesus, "Lord, I ask a favor of you. When you sit on the throne of your kingdom, could one of my boys sit on your right hand and one of my boys sit on your left hand?" Do you think that probably she swallowed a little hard here? She saw those two thieves, one on the left hand and one on the right hand. Makes you think a little bit. You see, there's things that were just too wonderful for us to understand. Jesus said to her, "You don't know what you're asking. It's not mine to give. Father's," you see. Now, I share all that with you because it is important for us to be a little shook up if we are not already a believer, so that only those things that can't be shaken will remain. Amen? I know that there are people who think that, I know the enemy thinks that he can overthrow the faith of some. But I'm telling you, if Christ is within, the Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail. Amen? Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. And he's given us a kingdom that's going to stand forever, that will not be shaken. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, the things that I shared with you about the current events point to this very fact. I believe that this won't happen until the church is taken out. I believe the church will be raptured. And the reason I say that is because the Bible says God has not appointed the church to wrath, but to obtain salvation. When that time comes, the Bible tells us in the book of 1 Thessalonians, or 2 Thessalonians, it says this, "Now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time." And it's talking about the Antichrist. "For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work," that spirit of Antichrist. "Only he who now restrains will do so until he be taken out of the way." This is speaking of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is within the church. When the Lord removes his spirit from this world, the church is coming with him. "Then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming." Remember, the Bible says our God is a consuming fire. "Who the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they do not receive the love of the truth." This is the truth, my friends. This is the truth. "That they might be saved." And it says, "For this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. There's a lot of people believing a lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. If you do not believe God's word, what he says in his word, and the things of prophecy, the things that he said will come to pass, the things that he said, that's one of the things that is evidence that he is who he said he was, is the fact he speaks those things before they were, and he brings them to pass. If you don't believe God's word, though you may attend church, it's not God you believe, but yourself. And my friends, that is a form of idolatry, because you have fashioned a God after your own image. Amen? We got to believe what is thus says the Lord. A lot of things hard to swallow, yes. And the Bible acknowledges that. But I'm telling you, it's good for you. It is the bread of life. It's what will sustain us. And if you're here and you don't know Jesus, the Bible says whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says that if you come to Him and you ask Him for forgiveness, you ask Him into your heart and life, you acknowledge and accept the fact that He is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God in the flesh, you acknowledge that fact. He says, I'll receive you as one of my own. The Bible says that those who reject Jesus as Savior are children of the wicked one. The only way that you can become a child of God is through faith in Jesus Christ. The Bible says to all those who come to Him, I mean, He won't cast them out, but He says if you come to Him, He says He gives you the right to be called a child of God. Who are born not of the will of man, nor the will of the flesh, but of the Spirit. You see, all mankind is separated from God. And the only way to be reconciled to God the Father is through the Son. Amen? If you're here today and you've not made that decision, I encourage you to call upon the name of the Lord while He may be found. Because there is coming a day when the church is going to be raptured. And there's going to be nothing but darkness left upon this earth. And if you can't acknowledge the Lord now, you're going to have a real difficult time in that day. Does it mean that you can't be saved? No, it doesn't mean you can't be saved, because the Bible says God's not willing that any should perish. But we need to accept the Lord now in the acceptable day of the Lord. Because there's coming a time when no one's going to be able to work. We find that there's more and more darkness in the land where, you know, people again trying to be more and more politically correct, trying to please every little group here and there that, oh, don't say that. Don't say anything about Christianity. You can say anything about any other religion, but don't talk about Christianity. There's coming a day when that's going to be true, where there's nothing said. Jesus himself said the words that if they do this under a green tree, what are they going to do under a dry tree? Amen? It's going to be a terrible time. And you don't want to be here. Amen? Let's bow our heads.